Sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Prayer. Psalms 119. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Blessed are those who observe His instructions, who seek Him with all their hearts. You lay down your precept to be carefully kept. May my ways be steady in doing your will. Be generous to your servant, and I shall live, and shall keep your words. Open my eyes, and I shall fix my gaze on the wonders of your law. Teach me, Yahweh, the way of your will, and I will observe it. Give me understanding, and I will observe your law, and keep it wholeheartedly.
Reading the Word. First reading, Sirah 15. If you choose, you will keep the commandments, and so be faithful to His will. He has set fire and water before you. Put out your hand to whichever you prefer. A human being has life and death before him. Whichever he prefers will be given him. For vast is the wisdom of the Lord. He is almighty and all-seeing. His eyes are on those who fear Him. He notes every human action. He never commanded anyone to be godless. He has given no one permission to sin.
Second reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But still, to those who have reached maturity, we do talk of a wisdom, not, it is true, a philosophy of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who will not last long now. It is of the mysterious wisdom of God that we talk, the wisdom that was hidden, which God predestined to be for our glory before the ages began. None of the rulers of the age recognized it. For if they had recognized it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is as Scripture says, what no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, what the mind of man cannot visualize. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. To us, though, God has given revelation through the Spirit. For the Spirit explores the depths of everything, even the depths of God.
Gospel, Matthew chapter 5. Do not imagine that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete them. In truth, I tell you, till heaven and earth disappear, not one dot, not one little stroke is to disappear from the law until all its purpose is achieved. Therefore, anyone who infringes even one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be considered the least in the kingdom of heaven. But the person who keeps them and teaches them will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, if your uprightness does not surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard how it was said to our ancestors, you shall not kill. And if anyone does kill, he must answer for it before the court. But I say this to you, anyone who is angry with a brother will answer for it before the court. Anyone who calls a brother fool will answer for it before the Sanhedrin. And anyone who calls him traitor will answer for it in hellfire. So then, if you are bringing your offerings to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, Leave your offering there before the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brother first, and then come back and present your offering. Come to terms with your opponent in good times while you are still on the way to court with him. Or he may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. In truth, I tell you, you will not get out till you have paid every last penny. You have heard how it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say this to you, if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye should be your downfall, tear it out and throw it away, for it will do you less harm to lose one part of yourself than to have your whole body thrown into hell. And if your right hand shall be your downfall, cut it off and throw it away, for it will do you less harm to lose one part of yourself than to have your whole body go to hell. It has also been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a right of dismissal. But I say this to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except for the case of illicit marriage, makes her an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard how it was said to your ancestors, you must not break your oath, but must fulfill your oaths to the Lord. But I say this to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, since that is God's throne, or by earth, since that is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, since that is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your own head either, since you cannot turn a single hair, white or black. All you need say is yes. If you mean yes, no, if you mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one.
Hearing the word. Molding the heart. The last Sunday's reading focused on the necessity for outward expression of one's faith. This Sunday considers the interior effects of one's faith, how the choice according to Jesus' instructions transforms the person inwardly. The book of Sirach belongs to the category of wisdom literature. Wisdom can be simply defined as the art of living wisely through making choices that lead to well-being, prosperity, and longevity. Wisdom literature acknowledges that a person has full capacity to discern what is good and the necessary freedom to make independent choices regarding his or her behavior. It focuses on motivating the readers to choose wisely through awareness of the consequences of their choices, often through considering the categories of wisdom and folly. The first leads to full life. The second leads to death. Today's first reading illustrates well the nature of wisdom instruction. The first part emphasizes the free will. A person is free to choose whether to follow God's commandments or not. The outcomes of the choice are beautifully described through two sets of graphic antitheses, fire and water, life and death. A person is invited to touch what is chosen, an invitation to consider the consequences of the choice. Part 2 motivates the person to choose God's ways. It does so referring to the wisdom of the Lord found in the commandments. While giving humanity freedom, God never commands anyone to sin. Still, as the guardian of the order, God will ensure that human decisions will be followed by appropriate consequences.
St. Paul continues to motivate his Corinthians to put aside divisions and follow God's ways. To motivate them to live wisely, he employs apocalyptic language. In the apocalyptic worldview, God's wisdom is hidden and mysterious. It was with God from the onset of creation, from of old, and is revealed by God to his chosen ones. This wisdom is not so much about day-to-day living, but rather about the fate and destiny of individuals and the world. This type of wisdom directs human life towards glory, which means sharing God's own life. Paul further motivates the Corinthians by pointing to the destiny of followers of Christ, those who love God, which means living according to God's ways, have a glorious destiny that surpasses all imagination. How can the Corinthians gain access to the hidden wisdom of God and know his ways? This wisdom and knowledge comes through the Holy Spirit. Living according to the Holy Spirit makes them mature. It also sets them apart from others who follow the opposite of God's ways, the wisdom of this age. These are the ignorant whose life is passing away. In this brief discourse, Paul instructs the Corinthians to freely bless themselves under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so that they can live wisely with the focus on God's future.
Our gospel reading is an extensive section of the Sermon on the Mount, which closely relates to the two other readings. First, Jesus emphasizes that he does not abolish the commandments. Rather, he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets designate two essential parts of the Old Testament. Jesus' teaching and work are meant to continue what God has begun with Israel and bring it to the completion. The novelty and difference Jesus brings lies not in the introduction of a different set of commandments to guide human life, but in teaching the way to fulfill them. Jesus offers his own instruction on how to live wisely, taking three commandments as examples, commandments which address three of the most important and problematic spheres of human life: anger, sexual desire, and personal integrity. Jesus begins with the command on the commandment, "Do not kill." Violence is endemic in society, destroying human life and communities. It is the greatest enemy of harmony and well-being. Jesus immediately identifies the root cause of murder, anger. By eradicating anger, the commandment will be easily fulfilled and followed. He forbids even insults and insists on reconciliation before performing any religious duties. Integrity of the community must be preserved.
The second commandment he addresses is, do not commit adultery. Unrestrained sexual desire destroys families. Again, Jesus identifies the root cause of adultery, lust, using the metaphor of tearing out the eye and cutting off the hand. He emphasizes that sexual lust and other disruptions of the family life, such as divorce, must be avoided at all costs, because they destroy the fundamental building block of the human community, the family. The final commandment Jesus addresses is the prohibition of false testimony. Taking oaths was common in Jesus' day. An oath was taken to ensure that a person tells the truth or that an action will be performed importantly. However, it was taken if the person swearing an oath was considered insufficiently reliable and trustworthy. In such a case, a reliable and trustworthy external witness by whom one saw was called upon to confirm the truth or to ensure that what was being sworn actually took place. Oath-taking was and still is a matter of personal integrity and commitment. Jesus forbids the practice In his view, personal integrity shall ensure truthfulness and reliability.
In all these cases, Jesus' instructions on the fulfillment of commandments can be summarized in one precept: interiorize the commandment. Absence of anger and lust in the heart will remove the danger of murder and adultery. Being a person of integrity will ensure truthfulness and honesty in dealing with others. This approach differs from the common approach of Jesus' day, where the emphasis was placed on the external observance of the commandments, without addressing the state of human heart. If the human heart is not transformed, then commandments will be violated repeatedly. But if the human heart is transformed according to the ways of God's wisdom laid out in the commandments, then their fulfillment will be guaranteed. Jesus does not alter the commandments. He advocates their fulfillment through altering the human internal disposition and attitude. This Sunday's liturgy calls for attention to our interiority, to the human heart. God had established a certain order in creation and in human society, an order which reflects God's wisdom and God's ways. We have a free choice to adhere to and live a blessed life, or to follow the wisdom of the world, which is temporary and destructive. Jesus instructs his disciples that the right way to adhere to God's order effectively is to shape one's heart according to his teaching and allow oneself to be guided by the Holy Spirit. This was beautifully summarized by the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke of having God's law written on the heart. What remains is to pray with the psalmist, "Give me understanding to keep your law, to observe it with all my heart."
Listening to the Word of God. Many people in the church have not undergone a change of heart. Many talk about Christianity, but their hearts are the same as those who make no claim to belief. Most of us can talk about Christianity because we have learned its truths, and it is not too difficult to appear knowledgeable about its ways. We can easily carry on conversations about faith and about the Christian life. It is easy to think that I am a Christian because I know all the things and all the stories and all the truths. Maybe you are a leader or a great choir master, or you have told all kinds of people about Jesus and led many to him. Yet, if your own heart does not react as the heart of Christ, then you are not truly Christian. Often, we know what is the right thing to do, but we don't do it. Instead of having loving, warm, and friendly fellowships in this world, we often withdraw more and more from each other and become selfishly self-centered. Our hearts become cold, and then our relationship with God falls apart, and our relationships with others are disrupted. We feel anger, we gossip, criticize, or are irritable. We are resentful, hateful, violent, and sexually promiscuous. We know the consequences of such attitudes, especially the pain we inflict upon others. But our hearts grab every opportunity to tear somebody else down in the public eyes and build ourselves up. Separation, divorce, sexual transgressions are other consequences of divided and unformed heart. Unfortunately, many in our society and church and even some of us do not have Christ-shaped hearts. We find ourselves with hearts that aren't like the heart of Christ. We need hearts that are different from those who do not live in a Christ-like way. Hearts that are kind to our spouses, our children, and those with whom we come into daily contact. One way to mold and change our hearts is to place ourselves in somebody else's shoes, to imagine that we are living their life. Then we will be better able to see how they feel if they fail to find us as tender, kind father, or an understanding husband or wife, or a dear roommate. We will be able to imagine what they experience when they come up against the hard indifference or anger or lust or exploitation that comes from us.
As Christians, we are called to change our hearts so that they reflect the tender affection of Jesus' heart directed to all humanity. Let us be honest and self-critical, acknowledging the dirt and filth that comes out of us, the hardness in our own heart towards our environment, our society, our family, relatives, towards each other, and even towards ourselves. Our God wants us to live according to His ways, found in the commandments and teaching of Jesus. He trusts that we can do it, and teaches us that we must pay attention to our hearts and shape them through the practice of prayer, and by growing through knowing His teaching in an ever deeper way. We can always count on Jesus' help. He came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and to mold our hearts. By being open to Him and His grace, our hearts will surely be changed.
When there is no enemy within, the enemies outside cannot hurt you.
Action. Self-examination. Reflect on your experiences of anger, lust, envy, jealousy, or strife in your human heart, and the feelings that accompanied these experiences. Reflect on how your experiences of untruthfulness and dishonesty created divisions among others. Can you identify with their feelings? Response to God. Confess the sins of hardness of heart by you, your group, your parish. Pray for a change of heart, a new heart full of tender affection for Jesus' heart, beginning with yourself so as to be a channel of healing. Response to your world. What concrete steps can you take to promote a change of human heart in personal, social, and parish life? Identify the violations of commandments that operate in your community, your group, family, parish, school, ethnic group, gender group. Resolve to take steps to stop those violations.
Prayer. Father, I am grateful for your gracious offer to give me a new heart, one that loves you, one that is tender and responsive to your voice, and one that reflects your love back to everyone in my life, friend and foe alike. Create for me that new heart and new spirit so that I will walk guided by His new heart.
and care for this new spirit by my commitment to your word and by seeking your face through prayer and worship. Amen.